reason for such high public and professional regard can be summed up in the two following short sentences. First, Ipana toothpaste is unsurpassed for cleaning teeth. Second, and even more important, when used with massage, Ipana helps give your gums the toning and stimulation they need for firmness and health. Those extra advantages are yours for the asking. Simply ask your druggist for a tube of the toothpaste that is recommended and used by so many dentists themselves. Ipana toothpaste.
Thank you. And now, before the little man with the jingle bells plays his nocturnal obbligato, may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that next week we bring you skiing advice.
When I'm coming down a hill and one ski flies off, what shall I do?
Don't worry, brother, you'll do it.
Your song of the week.
Hairless, and now that you've left me hairless, oh dear.
Watch it, Lawrence. That's a careless. Not hairless, isn't it?
The finance company just grabbed me toupee, brother. I'm hairless.
You're telling us. And our guest will be...
Mr. David Ludmer, a guide at the Statue of Liberty. Is Miss Liberty's right arm tired? Who is she carrying the torch for? Tune in next week and save a trip down New York Harbor. Or take a trip down New York Harbor and save tuning in.
You have
a... To prove the truth of this old maxim... A man who foistered a 60-minute peccadillo on America last Wednesday night returns to the scene of his crime tonight. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And now, before we start, Harry, I wish you wouldn't indulge in that oral exhibitionism you seem to be so given to lately. In the future, kindly dispense with that Park Avenue Billingsgate in my introduction, if you will.
Who, me?
Yes, what? You, Harry. The man who foisted a 60-minute peccadillo. What is that peccadillo?
Peccadillo?
Yeah.
Oh, Fred, any schoolboy knows what peccadillo means.
Don't start dragging the National Youth Movement into this. I am asking you, what does the word mean?
Peccadillo?
Yes, peccadillo, all of it.
Well, it's a verb. It's a verb, Fred. Uh-huh. To peccadillo. I peccadillo, you peccadillo, he peccadillo, we peccadillo,
no,
they
wait,
peccadillo.
No, wait. Look,
we,
look, you we... know what... No, don't pad the part. You
well,
stopped
no.
in the middle. You know what Mr. Wells said to his son, Harry?
No, what did Mr. Wells say?
Quit arsing around.
Oh. Okay, now you went and done it. I'll tell you. I was only kidding
right,
anyway. Peccadillo, peccadillo is from the Greek. Peck meaning to peck, as a woodpecker pecks.
Yeah.
Or four pecks make a bushel.
Uh-huh.
Or it's sometimes used as in that song, peck up your troubles in your old kid peck and
all right,
peck.
All right. Up to now, you're 100%. That's peck. Now, what about a dillo?
Oh. Well, A is just A, as in...
Vitamin A?
Vitamin A, that's right. Or A, as in one of some.
A, as in one of some?
Yeah, A is the singular. For instance, you have a lot of apples, you have some apples.
Some apples.
You have one apple, you have a apple.
You have an apple. An
apple. Yeah, it doesn't come out with apples, does it?
No. No, you'd better dig up another fruit, chum.
Don't tell me. I'll work it out. Oh, I've got it, Fred. I can do it with prunes.
No kidding.
Yeah, look, you
so
have...
So rarely that it can be done with prunes.
Well,
so well,
I can
do
this.
Prunes are an ornament on a 40-cent dinner. I mean, they're rarely eaten. I didn't...
Somebody told me that prunes were raisins with inflammatory rheumatism. But that is out of the question.
You will bring... Wait a minute. You bring another joke in here from the Bernie show... I won't let Bernie in here. Now, I don't want his jokes in here.
I got $2 from the maestro for that.
Okay. Well, he probably... You came in like a horse. He probably paid off on you.
Well, Fred, all I want to do is get
all right,
this
now get it straight.
A
dillo.
Peccadillo. I've
yeah.
got up to this...
A.
I can do it with prunes.
Sound your A.
All right. You have a lot of prunes.
Yeah.
You have some prunes.
Yeah.
You have one prune. You have a prune.
All right.
A prune.
Now, you've got peck and A. Now, what about dillo?
Well, dillo is easy. That's what you do to pickles. You dillo the pickles.
Then according to you, Mr. Funk, peccadillo. I'm leaving Wagnalls out of this. According to you, peccadillo is pecking at a prune and doing it to a pickle.
Well, that's the way it seems to come out.
And that's not going to look.
Hey,
it
how
up.
About starting the program, fellas? What's holding you guys up?
This program, gravity, for one thing. This program is not starting until Mr. Von Zell, Mr. Van Steeden, until Mr. Von Zell quits using words on this program that he obviously doesn't understand.
What word did you use, Harry?
Peccadillo, Pete.
Oh, you mean like in that song, when Peccadillo Pete goes tweet, tweet,
oh,
tweet.
No. And he leads the orchestra, yeah. You can imagine what's going on mentally behind those instruments. He's the leader. Van Steeden, I would like to see you and Phil Harris match wit. That would be the depth of nothing. A witzkrieg, as it were.
Oh, Phil Harris is a moron.
A moron, yeah. He calls it a maroon. There are two schools of thought. You should know you're closer to it than any of us. You have the audacity to call Phil Harris a moron, and you don't even know what the word peccadillo means?
Oh, yeah? Get this, stupid. Peccadillo is a noun. It's from the Latin peccatum, meaning sin.
Yeah.
A peccadillo is a small sin, a slight offense, a petty fault. Can you handle it, Alan?
Not with no gloves. No, I haven't got one. That finishes me. I give up.
How about a fanfare, Alan?
Anything but a peccadillo as we turn to the latest news of the week. Ipana News presents The World in Review. Philadelphia, PA. United States District Court judge rules that workers can sue their employers in federal courts for wages due under the wage hour law. In first decision of its kind rendered in this country, judge further rules that workers have a legal right to inspect the books of the employer. Should employees be allowed to inspect employers' books? Ipana News questions legal minds and white-collar workers. First, a disbarred ex-judicial power, Judge Tort says,
The status quo of the employer in this ruling is non-obstantive edicto. A writ of mandamus might nissy up his prius, but prossing his null could only result in a flagrant lictae. Or, as the Supreme Court recently ruled, vol vistu gaily a star.
That explains everything, and thanks a lot, sir. Oh, Judge, by the way, what bench are you sitting on today?
The second as you enter Central Park.
Thank you. I'll join you with a client later in the evening. A factory girl who doubts that girl employees will derive benefits through recent court ruling is Miss Pansy Turk. Now, do you think examining the boss's books is going to help the women workers, Miss Turf?
Nah. To me, it looks like only another pitfall for their waiting girl. I'm on my guard.
You're on your guard, are you? You haven't been embarrassed personally, have you?
Well, yeah. If you want to pin me down, I gotta say yeah.
Sorry to hear that. Where do you work?
In an ice cream factory. I'm a tutti-frutti evener.
A tutti-frutti evener?
Yeah, when they make a brick of tutti-frutti ice cream, sometimes there's more tutti than frutti in it.
I didn't know.
Other times there's more frutti than tutti.
Oh, and then you go...
Yeah, I gotta go around making it 50-50, half tutti and half frutti.
Imagine it's nice work if you can get it. Now, what about the boss's books?
Well, every night, by the time I even me tooties and me fruities and lick off me fingers, the other girls is gone.
Oh, and you are the last one out of the factory?
Except the boss.
Oh.
He's always in the office shaking out his toupee, getting ready to go home.
He says goodnight, of course.
For 2 years, he's been giving me the banjo eye.
The Vega cornea, he's been giving it to me.
Yeah. But I just give him one of them frustrated fawn looks and keep right on going.
He has never invited you into his office?
He ain't never had no excuse. Then this ruling is passed.
Giving the employee the right to look over the employer's books.
Yeah. The very next night, I see the boss has got his toupee on early.
Yeah.
He's waiting for me at the office door.
Yeah?
I don't say nothing. I even me last tutti-frutti.
Yeah?
I lick me fingers down to the last pinky.
Yeah?
I put on me Princess Eugenie hat with the convertible snood.
Yes?
I'm just starting for the door, and the boss says, Miss Type, would you like to come in and inspect my books? I wheels on him.
And?
And I says, you take care of your figures, Mr. Belcher. I'll take care of mine. With that, I stumped out the door.
Well, that's the worst of having short legs. Thank you, Miss Pansy Turk. An employer who is able to thwart employees who might want to inspect his books, Mr. Newton Kelp. How do you work it, Mr. Kelp?
Well, I got a system.
Well, that explains everything. The interview's practically over, isn't it? Well, what is your enterprise?
I got a clam shucking business. The Acme Clam Shucking Accepted High Tide Incorporated.
And how many men do you employ?
I got 10 men shucking inside and 40 picketing outside.
You're more going on outside, really, than there is in, isn't there? You've been having a little trouble, have you?
Yeah, Clam Shuckers Local Number 2 has been making it pretty hot for me.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, first they wanted a closed shop. Now, how can I open clams in a closed shop?
It's impossible.
Yeah, then the assistant clam shuckers want more money. Well, that's the last straw.
A calamity, as it were. What, what happened?
Well, the man says, we want to look through your books, Kelp. I says, I ain't got no books. I got all the figures in me head.
You're doing a small business, I guess. About a sixth and a seventh-eighth business. And what did the man do?
They went out and come back with a mind reader.
Determined to get at your books, huh?
Yeah. The mind reader picks up me head and starts reading it.
Yes?
He takes one look, puts me head back down and says, men, this guy is unbalanced, and that goes for his books, too. With that, they all kiss out.
And then what happened?
Well, the mind reader comes back in, and I give him the $10.
What $10?
Well, when the mind reader was reading me mind, I threw him a thought.
Yeah? What was the thought?
It was, keep your mouth shut, brother, and I'll give you $10.
He got your message?
And $10.
Well, thank you, Mr. Newton Kell. If employees in some businesses demand to examine employers' books, they may soon change their attitudes. IPANA News shows what may happen when an employee gets a look at his boss's books. The scene, the office of the Timken Toothpick Company. An employee is talking to Mr. Timken, the president. The employee says,
I've been working for you for 20 years, Mr. Timken, and I gotta have a raise.
I'm sorry, Jones. The business won't stand it.
Well, I got my legal rights, Mr. Timken. Let me see your books.
Oh, very well. Here's my statement for the past year, Jones. Gross income, $82,000.
Oh, boy!
My gross expenses, wages, taxes, etc., 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 $137,000.
And your net profit?
You and I are swapping jobs.
What?
From now on, I will have no headaches. I'll get your $22 a week.
And am I president of the company?
Yes, Jones, I'm giving you the business.
The business?
Right, and when I say I'm giving you the business, I'm giving you the business.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Max assemble to sing for us, Wait Till the Sun Shines, Nelly. Don't look now, but I think spring is really here. Hedgehogs, robins, and other flora and fauna Our giddy harbingers of spring at best. But it takes the circus to make it official. And that great American institution opens here in New York day after tomorrow.
Yeah, are you going, Fred?
Oh, am I going? Say, I've got to feed all those elephants, Harry. I've got to eat up all that popcorn. And I have got to get another look at the vanishing Americans.
Oh, you mean the Indians?
No, Harry. No. Those fellows who say, hurry, 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 hurry. Before the big show starts, step up closer to the platform and feast your eyes on the most awe-inspiring, spectacular, gigantic pygmy in the world.
I see. You mean the Barkers.
Correct, Harry. That is a style of elocution that always gets me. Say, even when I used to hear fellas selling stuff on the street. Remember, Harry? Now step up, folks, and get your whiffle wax, the wonder worker. Remove spots from rugs, walls, and high silk hats, softens harnesses, and repairs surcingles. There is nothing in the home, barn, or chicken coop that can't be fixed with whiffle wax, the wonder worker. Get away, boys, you bother me. I tell you, Harry, I am certainly sorry to see those fellas disappearing.
Yes, well, they were colorful enough, Fred, but I think the day of exaggerated claims is past. People nowadays are smarter about those things than they used to be. They want facts, evidence, truth. And that's why more and more people every day are turning to Sparkling Sal Hepatica.
Thank you. What was that last sound, Peter? Somebody fall on their head in the band? What was that dull, sickening, rawhide thud there? Peter and the boys have just played Limehouse Blues. Now, before presenting our guest, I would... Oh, hello, hello. Portland. Hello, Portland.
Hello. I just came up to invite you downstairs.
No kidding. What's going on downstairs?
A big party.
Really?
They finally finished building Rockefeller Center, and they're having a housewarming.
A housewarming? How can they have a housewarming in 14 buildings at the same time? What are they doing, setting fire to a vice president and letting him run through the hall?
Well, I don't know.
But tell me, now that it's finished, what do you think of Rockefeller Center?
Oh, it's all right if you like buildings.
Yes, that's it. Take away the buildings and what have you got? Another parking space. Rockefeller Center is really a triumph of mind over mortar. I had it in, they made me take it out this afternoon. Would have been a terrific laugh on the end.
Have you seen the trees they're planting on 6th Avenue?
The trees, yes. They took down the L to put up the L.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half of the people... Don't bother. It's a little hard. We don't bother with that. We have an entertaining line on the next page. Half, you know, if put this talk about the trees on 6th Avenue, half of the people who use 6th Avenue don't even know what trees are. They think the lampposts are blooming.
Yes, most New Yorkers don't know much about nature.
Well, how do you know?
Well, a policeman showed me a robin in a tree today. He thought it was a bloodshot sparrow.
I saw a little dog running along 6th Avenue. He came to one of those new trees. The dog sat down and rubbed his eyes. He thought it was a mirage. From a picture of the same name.
Gee, with all these changes, Jack Benny won't know New York when he gets here.
That's right. He'll be here in a couple of weeks, too. Well, that's good news for the mayor. Benny's all wet. He'll help the water shortage.
Isn't Jack's picture opening at the Paramount pretty soon?
I imagine so. I saw the Daily News picture critic splitting a star this morning. Enough about the Waukegan wastrel. Who is our guest?
Well, yesterday, I passed the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
I saw all those windows and got to wondering who washed them all.
Portland, don't tell me that our guest tonight...
He's the head window cleaner at the Empire State Building.
Good. Do you think he'll go over my glasses while he's here?
Well, you'll have to ask him. Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Richard Hart.
Well, good evening, Mr. Hart.
Good evening, Fred.
You are the head window cleaner or casement masseur at the Empire State Building, Mr. Hart?
Yes, Fred.
And how long have you been associated with the world's tallest building in your perilous capacity?
Ever since it was built 9 years ago.
The Empire State Building is only 9 years old, eh? It's large for its age, isn't it?
You'd think so, Fred, if you had to wash the windows.
Tell me, how long does a... That's a little courtesy we extend to guests. Mr. Hart, their line may get a laugh. We always wait. We have a laugh. But tell me, how does a person get into your profession, Mr. Hart? How did you start, for example? Were you just allergic to the ground? Or did someone die and leave you a squeegee?
No, Fred, I used to be a coal miner. Things got bad, and I had to find another job. I finally got into window washing.
Well, do you prefer it to mining?
Yes, Fred, I like it better outdoors.
That's fine. Still, you never can tell. If you fall off of the Empire State Building, you'll be back mining again. But tell me, how many skyscraper primpers do you have on your staff down there?
There are 8 men beside myself, Fred. They work in teams of 2.
And how many windows can each man clean a day?
About 75.
That's 150 for each team. With 4 teams going, that's around 600 windows being cleaned a day. And how many windows are there in the Empire State?
6,500. They're all cleaned about once every 10 days.
The same as a horse player. A man who plays horses gets cleaned about every 10 days, too. Although they tell me with a parlay, you can make it in 4 days. Tell me, isn't bathing those room monocles a risky business, Mr. Hart?
There's very little risk today, Fred, with the safety belts we use.
Well, what is your routine on a window job? Now, let us say you get a call from the 81st floor. That's a number I made up. The 81st floor, someone in an airplane shakes out his fountain pen and it smudges Mr. Raskob's window, which isn't being done down there. You report for action. What is the first thing you do, Mr. Hart?
First, I examine my safety belt carefully. The window ledges are less than 2 inches wide.
2 inches wide? Why, you'd have more room to work on a Ubangi's lift. Well, now, Abel, you've examined the belt. Now what happens?
I hook one end of the belt to the window while I'm still inside the room.
Yeah?
Then I step out on the ledge and quickly fasten the other end.
Ah, that quickly is the secret of your profession. Quickly, I see it all now. If a gust of wind comes up in the middle of quickly, what then?
I can't blow off. One end of the belt is strong enough to hold a man until he can get back up.
Gad, it must take nerve to attempt your work, Mr. Hart.
It's nothing, Fred. You could learn to do it in no time.
Oh, not me. Oh, you're just saying that, Mr. Hart. Why, altitude is only a word to me. I get airsick getting a piggyback. My fear of altitude is really what keeps me from going up on the cross leg. Tell me, Mr. Hart, when a window washer is perched 1,000 feet up there in the air with his spine resting on a zephyr, what does he think about?
Nothing in particular, Fred.
Well, as you contemplate the scene below, don't you ever fall into a philosophical reverie and despair the futile hurly-burly of modern existence and the ironic insignificance of man's futile functions?
No, I just washed my window.
When you're hanging outside, like a... I hope you don't mind Uncle Jim holding on to you, Mr. Hart. No, we had an eagle here 2 weeks ago, and he got away. And since then, Uncle Jim has been holding on to all of the guest stars. Don't mind it. His hand feels like a skin epaulet, but just don't pay any attention. Now, when you're hanging outside... When you're hanging outside... Order, please. We've got work to do here. Mr. Hart, when you're hanging outside like a barnacle on that Empire State Building, do you generally attract a crowd?
Yes, sometimes I have quite a mob standing around looking up at me.
Well, those are probably the same people who look down at excavations in the morning and then look up at you during the afternoon to get their necks back in play. A studio audience doesn't bother you working, does it?
No, I just keep on washing, Fred.
You do, really? I heard you clean up regardless of the audience, which is a rare thing. I heard about an actor years ago who got a job washing windows before the safety belts were invented. And this actor saw a crowd as he was washing the window. He saw a crowd watching him below. And when he finished washing the window, from force of habit, he turned around to take a bow. Well, he took two more bows while he was falling.
Wasn't he hurt when he hit the ground, Fred?
This actor never hit the ground, Mr. Hart. When he reached the fourth floor, the Lambs Club suspended him. But we stray, brother. Have you had any unusual experiences working around the world's tallest building?
No, Fred, but I have seen some freak weather up around the top floors.
You mean some air got out of Ripley's auditorium? They do say, though, that the building is so high it creates a potent upward draft.
Yes, I stepped out on the ledge with an open pail of water one day.
Uh-huh.
The draft sucked the water out of the pail in the water spout, 7 stories high.
If you are not telling the truth, Mr. Hart, that is the wettest tall story I have ever heard. You know, we've been talking about Al Smith's townhouse here, and I haven't even asked you how the happy warrior is these days. Do you ever see Mr. Smith while you're working around the building?
Yes, I see him nearly every day.
Is he still wearing that henna derby?
Not around the office, Fred.
Well, I wonder where it is. It isn't in the ring this year. Well, this has been a pleasant glimpse into your window-washing profession, Mr. Hart. That's not a very good blend. I hope you'll excuse it. We just go from Al Smith's hat into your finish here. It's a little crudely done. Cutting it was. We had it nicely before. Well, this has been a pleasant glimpse into your window-washing profession, Mr. Hart. I certainly do appreciate this little visit.
I've enjoyed it, Fred.
And I hope you're keeping in good condition for next summer.
How do you mean, Fred?
Well, you may get plenty of exercise this coming summer, Mr. Hart. I hear if, decides to run for a third term, that Al Smith is going...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Winnie.
Fred, I'll thank you if you'll let me tell about my new play.
Your new what, Harry?
My new play I've just finished writing, based on an actual, true experience. Would you like to hear the plot?
No, but I'm afraid that won't stop you, Harry.
No. Well, this play is about a young man who was very much in love with his wife and son. Every morning before he went to work, he always spent a lot of time playing with the youngster.
Yeah?
But one morning, he scarcely noticed him at all.
Boy, it sounds like a mystery play.
Well, sort of, yeah, until we discover the reason. Yeah. The young man woke up feeling so headachy, so logy and sluggish, that nothing seemed worth the effort.
Boy, now it sounds like a tragedy.
Up to a point, yes, it was, Fred. But it has a happy ending. Because his wife just put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and gave it to him to drink. And it wasn't long before he felt brighter and happier and more like his old normal self again.
Well, Harry, as an author, you probably have a footnote or two tucked away somewhere in the manuscript, haven't you?
Well, just one, Fred. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Round Table, where 3 persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on a question that concerns some prominent issue of the day. These little sessions are entirely unrehearsed. Fred has taken his place at the round table, where he meets his fellow debaters.
I'm here, Harry. I'm here already.
You're all set? Well,
yes,
you go ahead,
I fell
Fred.
Into a chair, Harry, from fatigue and nervous exhaustion. Are we properly introduced, Harry?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, thank you. But for how long, nobody knows. Well, thank you, Harry, and I declare the forum here and now to be officially open if Portland would kindly introduce the first member of our little board tonight.
Yes, Mr. George Heppner from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, good evening, Fred.
Oh, he beat me to it. I'm fine, thank you, Mr. Heppner. I hope this... meeting finds you in the same fine physical fettle.
It sure will.
Well. We're beginning to sound like Quinn and Cavalier at the office. But only Uncle Jim remembers that act. But I couldn't think of anyone quicker. Well, tell me, mister, you're from Brooklyn, Mr. Heppner.
I am.
I imagine the first question a person from Brooklyn expects to... Gee, I've got 15 tickets here for this show I forgot to give to people. Could you go out and get some more people to come in for the show?
Sure.
Excuse me, Mr. Heppner. He may be able to dig up or throw 15 people out as well. I don't do either with the ticket. I imagine the first question a man from Brooklyn expects to be asked at this time of the year is, how do the Dodgers look?
They'll be hard to beat, Fred.
They'll be hard to beat. Well, of course, that's what we hear every year, and then the season opens. But, you work over in Brooklyn, do you, Mr. Heppner?
I sure do.
May I ask,
For the government right now, Fred, taking the census.
Oh, you're taking up the census, are you?
I am, yes, sir.
Well, how are you having any trouble with the income tax question or some of the others there was so much talk about?
Not at all, Fred.
Not at all. The people are cooperating 100%,
huh?
You don't have a chance to, you're not permitted to have a sideline on that job, are you?
Not that I know of.
I mean, after you take a person's census, you can't, whip out an egg beater or something.
Not very well, I guess,
Fred. I just wanted to make sure. I was interested in it, but if it's just one job, I won't bother with it. Well, thank you a lot, Mr. Heppner.
Thank
now,
you, Fred.
Kindly welcome.
Miss Ruth Young from New York City.
Good evening, Miss Young.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You work here in New York, do you?
Yes, I work for the group theater.
Oh, for the group theater, do you really?
Yes.
I heard that the group it's not true that the group theater is disbanding, is it?
It absolutely is not.
That's what I thought. I heard someplace that it was, and I had hoped that it wasn't. They've done so many wonderful things and brought Mr. Odets and so many other clever people to the attention of the theater-going public that I was hoping they'd continue to carry on in the same vein for a long time to come.
Well, next year will be our 10th year, and I think it's going to be our very best.
Well, I certainly hope it is. Tell me, have you, Miss Young, have you had your census taken yet?
No, not yet.
You
I'm
haven't?
Not home very often.
Well, Mr. Heppner is here tonight. If you would like to kill two birds with one stone, as Confucius said some years ago when in a mortar-throwing mood, I think I could prevail upon Mr. Heppner to take your census.
Well, I think we'd better wait until I get home.
Put it off until you get home. Well, it's perfectly all right with me. You weren't worried about the danger of a subway strike, were you, a few days ago?
No, I wasn't worried at all. I had a feeling it would all come out all right.
Well, it certainly did. As even as the Flatbush Express, it always comes out all right. Well, thank you a lot, Miss Young. And now, Portland?
Mr. Charles D. Euro from the Bronx, New York.
Good evening, Mr. Euro. May I ask what you do up in the Bronx? Or do you work up there? Pardon me.
Yes, I'm in the real estate profession.
Oh, are you really?
Management and renting.
Well, that's fine. In other words, you go around to houses the same as Mr. Heppner with the census, but you have a different motive. I mean, you're inspired through the profit motive to go through the same work that Mr. Heppner does for love and for Uncle Sam. Well, thank you, Mr. Euro. I guess that... I'll go berserk one of these nights. Uncle Jim has got to get a butterfly net. I am too. Well, I guess that brings us to our question, folks. Tonight we take up a matter that's been kicked around by parents and authorities on child behavior for some time. Random psychologists have sponsored new theories to guide parents in the proper raising of children, and some psychologists claim that spanking is responsible for phobias developed in later life. Now, many parents say that discipline cannot be taught the child unless spanking is practiced. You want me to wait till you clear your throat?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you first. I might as well clear it while I'm talking. I mean, rather than clear it while you're talking, it would be less confusing. You all right now, your throat?
I'm okay, Fred.
All right, thank you, Mr.
How are you?
If you can't tell by looking at me, you need glasses. Well, our question tonight is, do you think children should be spanked, or do you think that more modern methods should be applied to influence a child's behavior? Now, wait till I finish, Mr. Heppner. Now, how... You're coming up. Now is your cue. How do you feel about spanking, Mr. Heppner?
Not at all, Fred.
You don't?
No.
are you to pay? You think that that spanking went out with the Indian and the antimacassar?
Sure did.
It's an old-fashioned practice that should not be indulged in.
That's right.
You're against it strongly.
I sure am.
Thank you, Mr. Heppner. Now, Miss Young, how do you... were you ever spanked as a baby, mister?
I sure was, Fred. I sure was, very often.
You didn't feel any ill effects in later life?
Well, I don't know, not as yet.
You seem to... You seem to be sitting comfortably right now.
I am, Fred.
Well, that's fine. Now, Miss Young, what is your attitude on spanking?
I think children should definitely not be spanked, particularly in New York City.
Why? It seems to me the city is the important thing. And why? Do you think only hamlets and smaller towns should engage in the practice?
Well, as far as I know, hamlets and smaller towns don't have anti-noise ordinances. We have a very strict one in New York.
Oh, and that's why you think on account of the noise rather than through any worry about the after effects on the child.
Yes.
Well, that's a good attitude, too, if you're allergic to decibels. That's one way to look at it. Well, thank you, Miss Young. And now, Mr. Ural, how do you feel about spanking?
I don't believe children should be spanked.
You don't?
If a parent were to take something away from the child that really interested the child, I think that particular type of punishment would be sufficient.
You mean if the mother took Mickey Rooney away from the child, that the child would suffer?
That's the idea.
You think that... Well, all children like Mickey Rooney, I was just thinking offhand. Well, you think that, in other words, if there was less spanking in the country, there would also be fewer dead-end children. Well, it seems then... It seems quiet. Now, we're late. You saw the man waving. We're very late. We've all got to put together and rush now. Our forum stands 3-0 against spanking, which is sure to die out as a result of this talk tonight. I can only say I don't know anything about it myself. I can only say, as advice to parents, I can only repeat the words of that famous card player, Mr. Hoyle, who said, "If your child is holding 3 aces, never try to raise it." And in this note of utter despair, the meeting is adjourned, and thank you all. That's a little thing I had left over from a week I played in the Roxy. That circle in the finale. And now, the Mary Max to sing Cecilia.
Does your mother know you're out, Cecilia? Does she know that I'm about to steal ya? Oh, my, when I look in your eyes, something tells me you and I should get together. How's about a little kiss, Cecilia? Just in case you never miss a Cecilia.
Thank you. And now our own Uncle Jim, who gets around a lot, brings us a young lady who has just won a beauty contest. That's right, isn't it, miss?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Well, I don't wonder. If you don't mind if I ask you a few questions, do you?
No, indeed, Mr. Allen.
Well, tell me, was this beauty contest held here in New York?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Well, I'm not one to salt, but I do think someone might have thought of me when they were looking for competent judges. Tell me, how many girls were in this contest?
Just two.
Just two?
Yes, sir. You see, when I used to look in my mirror, I always saw a girl whose eyes and hair were pretty nice. The complexion was all right, but somehow her smile spoiled the picture.
Sounds pretty discouraging.
It was. But then I heard what Mr. Von Zell said about Ipana toothpaste, so I started using it. Now when I look in my mirror and compare myself with that other girl, I just figure I won that beauty contest hands down.
Well, with a smile like you have now, you couldn't lose, could she, Harry?
Certainly not, Fred.
And now the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight they present a slice of Ozark life, medium rare. It's called The Laziest Man in the World. Oh, they said the hillbilly had insomnia because he woke up twice that year. Pass the corn, Professor.
In
In a tiny cabin in the Ozarks, the famous hillbilly Zeke Allen first ignored the light of day. Destined to become the laziest man in the world, little Zeke displayed at birth the qualities that were to bring him sluggard fame. The day little Zeke was born, the veterinarian picked him up by the heels and spanked him. Did little Zeke go... No, the lazy little sprat went... And so he continued throughout adolescence. When Zeke was 21, his family tried to wake him up to get him married. The ceremony started. The bride said...
I do.
And Zeke said... And so they were married. Then came the war. Zeke Allen answered his country's call with a resounding...
I can't digest.
And so he snored on through the years. As our story starts, it is April 1940. Zeke Allen, the laziest man in the world, marches on, but horizontally. As the scene opens, Zeke's wife is trying to awaken him.
Zeke! Landshake, Zeke, wake up!
What's up, Ma? Judgment Day, is it?
No, it ain't Judgment Day. It's spring.
Spring? What year?
1940.
I told you not to rouse me, Ma, except for two things. If Gabriel blows his horn, or if my name comes up in the pot of gold.
Lord, look at them cobwebs on your toes.
Yeah?
Why don't you keep your big feet covered?
Ain't fly time, is it, Ma?
And pull your beard in off on the floor. Your head looks like it's growing on a vine.
Jeepers, I'm hot. Who shut this zipper in my windbreaker here?
A field mouse got his leg caught in it yesterday. I scattered him and he run up your stomach and closed your zipper.
You ought to put a ferret in bed with me once a month, Ma, and keep me from getting so gamey.
Lord, you ought to get Frank Buck for your chambermaid. I never seen a body so lazy.
Well, all us Allens was lazy, Ma. My pa was too lazy to breathe. Every time Pa lay down, somebody'd bury him. Pa always carried a pound of raw meat in his pocket, so as when he was buried, some dog would dig him up.
What finally happened to your pa?
One day, Pa went out, forgot to take his meat. Amen.
What about your ma?
Ma's lazy in the pa. I often wonder what become of Ma.
Lost your ma, did you?
Well, we uns didn't allow Ma was lost. If when you look for something you can't find, well, you can say it's lost. We didn't look for Ma.
Your family was going places compared to you. When are you getting up?
Oh, let me be, Ma. I'll get up next year.
That's what you said last year.
Well, I'm saying it again this year.
Look at you, all curled up like a beckoning finger.
Who's tapping, Ma? That woodpecker's or someone to the door?
I'll find out.
Good day, constituents. I'm Senator Gov. Lysander G. Gov. I'm running in today's primaries for re-election. Have a cigar, brother.
Thank you, Senator. Reckon prosperity's just around the corona.
What this country needs is a good 5-cent cigar. You got one there. I trust you'll remember me at the polls today, my loyal supporter.
I'm for you, Senator, but I can't vote.
Why not, my esteemed friend?
Well, reckon I'm just too lazy to get down register.
What? I've been wasting my time. Give me back my cigar, bum. I'll have to warn Vandenberg about this renegade.
By that Indian giver, I should have given what for, Ma.
You better figure what to give to Banker Hatfield. The mortgage is due today.
If this is Banker Hatfield, I'll give him what for, too.
Come in.
Good day, madam. This the residence of Zeke Allen?
Who be you, fancy pants?
I'm a government agent here to take the census. Have you two any children?
No.
Cattle?
No.
Automobile?
No.
Your bathtub inside or outside?
What's a bathtub?
What do you wash in?
What's wash?
What? Why, it's having water on you.
What did I be doing getting christened at my age?
You mean to tell me that you two don't bathe?
If you mean let each other down, Zeke and me does it once a year.
Let each other down? Is that bathing?
Sure is. Once a year, Zeke and me meet at the well.
Yes?
I let Ma down.
Then I let Zeke down.
I see. Well, I'll get on to the next question.
Now, hold on, stranger. I'm getting right tired of you coming to Paul Pry around here.
But the government...
I ain't asking the government no riddles, am I?
No, but...
All I want to know about the government, I can read in my day. And according to my day, everything is peachy.
Now, you've got to answer these census questions.
Who says I got to?
It's the law. As long as I keep asking questions, you got to answer them.
If I'm getting back to sleep this year, looks like I got to stop the asking.
Here, what are you doing with that rifle, Rube?
That's your last question, Bub.
Oh. Vote every star.
Oh. Well, trying to be so lonesome now with three of us round the cabin.
No. Put the body behind the door, Ma.
Sakes alive, who's this?
Well, open the door, I'll see.
Okay.
Good afternoon, folks.
Slim Hatfield, Paul.
Banking Hatfield.
Yes, and you're creditors, Zeke Allen.
Well, reckon you're here to throw us out, Mr. Hatfield.
Well, your mortgage is due today, Zeke Allen, but I'm granting extension if...
If what?
My best friend, Lysander J. Guff, is running for senator today. If you vote for Lysander, you can stay on your land.
Senator Goff was here this morning, Mr. Hatfield.
Yeah, I told him I couldn't vote because I wasn't registered.
What? Well, that's fried your fat, Zeke. If you can't vote for Goff, you're getting off of the bank's land.
Come in.
Door be worn.
Well, that's that rube, Zeke Allen.
Senator Goff, what are you doing back here?
It's an emergency, Lamb.
You mean the primary ballots is all in?
Yes, and a very embarrassing situation has arisen.
Lemke get elected?
No, the result is a tie.
Tie, Lysander?
Yes, 48 votes for me and 48 votes from a scurrilous, unworthy, backbiting, mud-flinging opponent.
Tie. It's got to be broken, Lysander.
It's a must, Lamb. And there is only one man in Possum County who can break it.
Who's that, Senator?
It is you, my dear friend Allen. You are the only constituent in Possum County...